Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are welcome to today's Bible study. Today, we are going to go into the scriptures, and I believe that as you pay attention to what God will teach us today, there will be some transformation in your life and in your work with God in Jesus' precious name. It's the will of God for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of His word. So we're gathered today with Him to learn at the feet of Jesus Christ how we should live our lives so that we can become conformed with the image of the Son of God in thoughts, in speech, and also in actions, so that the world around us will come to embrace the wisdom to which we believe in Jesus precious. Amen. My prayer for you today is that the suffering of the love of God on the cross will not be in vain in your life. In Jesus precious. Amen. So let's really go into the word today. And we are going to start from the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. This is a very familiar scripture to all of us, I'm sure. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14. Verses 10 to 14. I'm also going to read Romans 8 and verse 18. So make sure you have your Bible, whatever device that you're using, and then make sure you have your notebook and your pen to jot down whatever the Spirit of God highlights to you as the teaching of the word goes to you. Amen. So let's go into the scriptures quickly and let's read what it has to say. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. I'm reading the New translation of the Bible. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. And I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again into your own land. Amen. Now, let's quickly go to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 18. This is a very important scripture to what God will be teaching us to be. Romans 8 and 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The suffering of this present time are not worthy, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I title today's teaching, How to Turn Your Stress to Power. How to Turn Your Stress to Power. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless your name. Thank you in all things and in all ways, because you are deserving of our thanksgiving. We thank you for the so much of your faithfulness that we have experienced, so much of your goodness that we have tasted of in our lives. We trust you to continue as you reveal your mind to us through your word today. Our hearts are open to receive from you today. Empower your words today. Edify every listener. Encourage them, challenge them, bless them, enrich them today, and let the word turn to them for a testimony. We praise you, Lord, and voices of thanksgiving to the glory of your name and to the advancement of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for doing this and doing much more, for we regard our expectations. Great God, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to you. How to turn your stress to power. We know that pressure comes to us in various ways in life. For as long as we are living, there are things, forces that will come to exert some pressure on us for us to either compromise our faith in God. This pressure comes to us in varied forms. We all go through some things that will bring us to a point where we will run out of strength and be mentally exhausted, emotionally drained, and then even physically. We can translate to physical exhaustion as well. And there are situations like that that bring such pressures into our lives. And it's not, we will all experience this in life in one way or the other at one time or the other. But there is something that the Bible has said, for example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, that there are times and seasons for everything here on earth. There are times and seasons. So there are times that we will come against things that will forces that will bring some pressure to us in life. Stress, things that will cause us to have displeasure. It can take us to a point where we are displeased with things that used to bring us joy. But now we have a mental displeasure of things. And there are people who went through this, even in the Bible, even our Lord Jesus Christ. He went through a season where he ran out of emotional and mental strength. And but what is important really is not what we are going through, but it is more of how we go through it. It's not much about what is happening to us, the trials that we have to face in life, or even the consequences of our own disobedience to God's word and our own rebelliousness and stubbornness to the instructions that God has been giving unto us to prevent us from being vulnerable to all manner of attacks, but that we have refused or neglected to give attention to, and we do not hearken to the voice of God that has been warning us. But so it's not so much about what we're going through, because we will all go through some things that we didn't plan for, wish for, or pray for in life. There are certain things that come to us, and sometimes it is as a result of our own disobedience, and sometimes it is just as a result of some demonically orchestrated attack to afflict us. And the purpose is for us to give up on our faith in God, to give up on the promises of God for our lives. That's why sometimes when we're praying and we are confessing the word of faith that God has promised me this, and that I'm believing God that He will come through for me. God has said that you ask, I have asked him, and I'm trusting God that He will, that which I've received in prayer, God will bring it to physical manifestation. And we confess the word of God and we pray based on the word of God. And then when we are not seeing the result, at the time that we believe that, yes, God should answer our prayers. And we begin to, the enemy begins to bring some thoughts of discouragement to us to get us to be weary of waiting for the faithfulness of God. And then it begins to open the door of despair to us when we run out of strength, and then we completely lose a sense, you know, we have the sense of displeasure, even in the things that used to give us pleasure. And this is what the enemy wants to bring out from us, so that we can completely give up on God. And as long as we give up on God, you know, there is no way that the glory of God can be manifested in our lives. We have to continually and continuously believe God, hold on to what He has said, regardless of what the environment is saying. It doesn't matter how negative or contrary it is to the promise of God. Praise the Lord. This is the time that the stress really comes. This is the time that we face a lot of struggles, because our flesh is struggling with the spirit at that time. And we are under serious pressure at that time. Pressure to compromise faith. Pressure to give up on what God really wants us to do. And one thing, the good news about this kind of season in our lives is that whatever pressure that life brings to us, as a child of God, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, born of the Spirit, let me tell you this up front to you. God knows about that pressure. He knows about it. He knows the struggles that you are going through right now. He knows about it. And you know what? He actually allowed it. Now, you can say to me, whoa, Pastor, what are you talking about? Why would God allow this kind of a thing? He knows that this is not me. Why would God allow this kind of stress? Why would He allow this kind of pressure to come to me? Why would He open this door where I do not even know what to do about my situation, where I'm at my wit's end? I've tried all that I know to do, and it's not adding up to the joy and to the praise that I have believed God for. It's not adding up to my testimony. What's the glory of God is being restored by this struggle that I'm facing, by this pressure that I'm facing. I am stressed out, I am burnt out, because I am completely discouraged and weary of waiting for God's faithfulness, and God is not showing up for me. How can you say God knows about this, and then He chooses not to do anything about it? In fact, He allowed it to happen. Now, child of God, what I want you to know today, if God, what you see is what God has done. If He didn't allow it as a child of God, it will not come to you. Now, if God allows it to come to you, it is because God can use it for His glory. There is a purpose for it. There is the glory that God is going to take out of that storm, out of that struggle, out of that pressure, out of that despair. There is a glory that God is about to do out of it. Praise the Lord. So it is not so much about the pressure that we're facing. It is not so much about the oppression that we're experiencing. It is about what God is going to do about it. And from the scripture that we read today, in that Romans 8:18, it is very clear what God's intentions are. You see, the God that we serve is a God of purpose, of plan, and of objectivity. God will always have an objective about suffering. And because He loves us, we are His children. He's our Father. We are His children. He will not allow anything to come into our lives if He Himself cannot reveal His glory through it. Praise the Lord. We are created for His glory. Isaiah 43 makes us to understand He has created us for His glory. So there is a glory that God wants to bring of every story in your life and in my life. He has reserved that for Himself. So that scripture in Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon," this is Apostle Paul, after all that he himself has experienced in his walk with God, he said, "I reckon, this is my reckoning, of every suffering, every struggle that I faced in my walk with God as a child of the living God." He said, "This is the reckoning, that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, this is so encouraging in the sense that if I do not give up, then I will see the glory. If I do not allow the enemy to use this suffering to take me out from God, to shift my focus away from God and shift it on my problem, then there is a glory. And I will see that glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what we want to do and what we want to know is how can my story turn to glory? How can this stress turn to power? How can my pressure turn to power? How can my pain turn again to power? That's what you and I want to know. Praise the Lord. Because going through all these things that we go through, there is nothing peculiar to any one of us about it. We will all go through trials. Okay? We will all go through situations, circumstances, seasons in lives when sometimes you are trying to add one and one together, but it will not become two. There are times when even though you are doing the right things, you are praying, you're fasting, and somehow it just seems as if God is delaying in bringing solutions to your problem, answering your questions, and manifesting the promises that He has made to you and in His word. But God is never late. Praise God. He is never late. There is something, there is a purpose that God wants to bring out. Now, let me make the statement ahead, right, that the death of your flesh is the purpose of your stress. I'll say that again. The death of your flesh is the purpose of your stress. So when God allows stress, allows this pressure to come into our lives, even though He claims and He says that He loves us, and He has probably by giving us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So we know that God loves us. We are not in doubt of His love for us. But then the enemy wants us to question His love for us when we are faced with all these challenges and we are in a season of struggle, we are in a season of so much pressure and attacks that are coming against us, forces that are coming against us. And God says, "I allow it because I know that I have a purpose. There is a purpose I want to fulfill through your life. But you will have to go through this, hallelujah, for me to be able to fulfill that purpose." Amen. Now, let's continue. Why did God allow it? Number one, God is a God of purpose, of plan and objectives. He has a plan. He has mapped out our lives from the beginning to the end, just like the Bible said. He knows us. From the beginning to the end, He knows everything about our lives. Praise God for Him. And He knows the best way to take us on that journey to where He wants us to be. That place and that land of bliss. Praise the Lord. From our text today, the first one that we read from Jeremiah 29, from verse 10. He said, "This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. Now, this is God. He foretold them about what they were bound to go through. Now, there is a reason why they had to go through that. Because they rebelled against God. And that's the reason why they are even suffering what they are suffering. Because He said, If you go down in verse 15, he said, for they refuse to listen to me when you do not listen to the nudges and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, when you do not listen to the word of God. He said, they refuse to listen to me though I have spoken to them repeatedly. There are times that God will continue, he will come to us and he will be telling us, that thing you're doing, stop it. You shouldn't be believing this. Stop that thing. This is what you should be doing. This is not what you should be doing. And it comes to us, the Bible says, repeatedly, he spoke repeatedly. That is times that you yourself, you will hear a word, the same word you will hear from somewhere else. The same word was preached in church. The same word, you read a word for today, and it is the same word that you read. And this word keeps convicting you in your spirit. Now, if you neglect it, and you don't do anything about it to ensure that you turn away from what God is repeatedly speaking to you, that it's not right in your life. He said, I have spoken to them repeatedly, though through the prophets that I sent to them, and you who are in exile have not listened either. He said, they have not even listened to him. God is speaking, they are not listening. He has sent the prophet, they still did not obey. They were in their own stubbornness of heart and refused to abide by the instructions that God has been giving unto them. And so God spoke, and he said that you will be in Babylon for 70 years. Now, Babylon symbolizes a place of a wilderness, a place of idolatry, a place of sin, a wilderness of sin, a place of where the operations, the pattern of operations of this world is at its epicenter, where sin and evil is at its epicenter, and it is opposed to the righteousness of God. And then God said, you will go in exile into that. You will be in that wilderness for 70 years. And he told them, that is a season that you will face. You will go through that season where you will be oppressed, because when the children of Israel were taken away from their land of blessing, they were taken captive by the Babylonians, and they took them to Babylon. And they were oppressed there because they were slaves there. Amen. And he said, for 70 years you are going to be there. Now, you will think, in fact, let me continue reading. He said, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised. Now, do you see that? Now, even though they are going to go into a season of oppression, of suffering, of captivity, God said that is not going to be the end of their story. There is still a glory that is reserved for them. Hallelujah. There is still a glory. Their story is not going to end in defeat. So I don't know what you're suffering like. I don't know what your struggles are. Maybe whatever it is, it will be mental, it will be financial, material, it will be your career, it will be your marriage, it will be, with your kids, whatever that you're struggling with right now, and it seems as if you have run out of strength, you have run out of your wits, you do not even know what else to do. You have prayed, you have fasted, you have confessed the word of God, and it seems as if even the more that you're doing it, the more it seems as if the doors are shut and you just can't find your way out. It's like you are in some kind of a spiritual maze. God is saying here that it's still going to end in you. Because God said, I will come. And the translation says, I will visit you. Glory to God. After you have suffered a while, then I will come. I will visit you. Now, there is a purpose for taking them to that place. We know what took them there. They were not obedient. Now they were taken into captivity as a result of it. It's a result of their own stance. And then the enemy uses this to attack them. Because that's what the devil does. When you are not walking in righteousness and in right standing with God, then the enemy sees an open door with which to launch his attack and to afflict us in any area that he chooses. Why? Because we have opened the door for him and made ourselves vulnerable to such attacks. And when it comes, thank God that God will not leave us in that place of exile, of oppression and captivity. And he promised, and we know that God is a promise keeper. He promised that he will return to them, he will visit them and bring them out of it and put them back, restore them back into their land of blessings. Praise the Lord. So no matter what it is that we face, as long as we stick to God, even if it's as a result of our own sin, as long as we repent, as long as we receive the conviction of the Spirit of God in our hearts and allow it to bring us in place of humility and repentance towards God, and then receive God's grace, then there is no way that God will not fulfill his promise. He has promised, I will come, I will bring you out of captivity and place you in your land of promise. And he said in verse 11 that this is because the thoughts that I have for you are thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you. Praise the Lord forever. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God's plan for us is not to harm us. So when you are in that kind of a situation, and you feel, God, why am I going through so much stress? Why am I being so pressured by all these needs in my life that are not met? The Bible says the thoughts that God has for us, they are thoughts of good and not of evil. They are plans to prosper us. God has a plan for you, beloved. And those plans are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and a hope. Praise God forever. To give us a future and a hope. Amen. So we understand from this scripture that God has not planned defeat for us. He has not planned a life, a mediocre, unsuccessful, and a sloppy life for us. That's not what his plans do for us. They are plans not to harm us. So when we are faced with all sorts of afflictions in our lives, and sometimes they can come in waves, one after the other, as you're trying to get yourself out of one, another one is coming out from another. So all these pressures, no matter what it is, the Bible says it's not to harm us. Why? Because God has a plan, and his plan is to prosper us and not to harm us. His plan is not for disaster in our lives. He has not planned disaster for us, but he has a good plan for each and every one of us. The plan to have a future in Christ and to have hope, and that our hope will not make us to be ashamed. Praise the Lord. God is a promise keeper. So we need to understand that. Understanding is really very important. Why did God allow this? He allowed it because he can use it for his glory. Because it's a God of purpose, a God of plan, a God of objectivity. Two, he allowed it because how do we get from this stress to power? How can I turn it to power in my life? One thing we need to understand is what we have said, what took them to Babylon. We already know that one. Number two, understanding the times. We must understand the times and the seasons that we are in life. Now, there's something in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 32. in that particular chapter, the Bible is telling us about all the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, and it's talking about a particular tribe in that verse 32. And it says, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. They would know what to do because they understood the times they were in. The heads of them were also 200, and all their brethren were at their command. All their brethren were at their command. So they were in leadership over the other people because they were able to discern the times that they were in. And because of that, they knew what to do. Praise the Lord. You see, you cannot dislocate an enemy that you cannot locate. If you don't understand or have understanding of the times that you have, if you don't have an understanding of what God is doing in your life, if you don't have an understanding that God really loves you, that you will not, he doesn't have a plan of defeat for you, if you don't have that understanding, you will continue to struggle when you are in a season where things don't work the way you planned, you wish, and you prayed. Amen. You may think that God hates you, you may think that what's the devil is so powerful that even God cannot even control what the enemy is doing. And you think that, God, why have you brought this evil upon me? Why have you allowed this evil to come upon me? And we come up with all sorts of complaints and murmuring and grumblings about God, and we get offended even in our spirits, and it begins to affect even our relationship with God, because we think that God doesn't care. God does hear us. God has shut his ears to us. Amen. And understanding, when we can discern the times that we are, because there are times, as the ecclesiastic that we read say, there are times, different times, there are time and season for every purpose here on earth. So there are times that you smile. There are times that you cry. The Bible makes us to understand. So all these seasons, we will all go through it. Praise God. We will all go through it. But what is important is we are just going through. The good news is that we don't get to stay there. Just like God told the children of Israel, you will go into exile. You will go into captivity for that season, but you are coming out of it. Praise God forever. Why? Because God loves them. Because God has a plan and a purpose for their lives. And the purpose of God cannot be annulled. So he's got to take them out of that captivity. He's got to deliver them from the oppression that they're facing. He's got to help them in the situation, in the place where they're weak. And strengthen them in the place where they're weak. In the place, in the time of confusion, he's got to bring enlightenment to them. In the time that they break down, he's got to make sure that their breakdown just a breakthrough for them. Because of his plan for them. A plan not to harm them. Not a plan of defeat, but a plan of victory. Hallelujah. There is a land of bliss that God wants you and I to inherit in Christ. And God is saying that, yes, I will get you there. But there are certain things that you will face on your way there. So it is how you and I deal with those bumps on the road that will determine how we will arrive at that place. And my prayer is that we will not endure in the wilderness, that we will surely get to our land of blessing in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So they knew the times, the sons of Issachar, they knew the times and they knew the seasons. And because they knew it, they knew what to do. So when you are in a season, you've got to understand. In fact, when I'm talking about times, there is this understanding that we need to have, because it takes understanding to actually be understanding. And that is what the experience of the sons of Issachar have proven to us, that they, because they have that understanding, they were outstanding among their peers, among their brethren. They were the leaders. They were leading them. The rest of the people didn't know what to do, but they knew what to do because they had understanding of what they're going through. And that's why it's important. When things happen in your life, you didn't pray for, you didn't plan for, you need to understand where this is coming from. I'm always an advocate of the prayer of inquiry. Go to God and ask God, Lord, what is going on? And may God reveal to you. Now, let me tell you why that is really so vitally important for every believer. If we are not careful, we can make a mistake and think that a trial is the same as a chastisement of the Lord. No, they are not the same. And the reason why they are not the same is because the way what he demands of us in response to it is different. So we must be able to discern whether I am, it's my faith that is being tried, or God is chastising me. In other words, is disciplining me because either of my own disobedience, and God is trying to redirect my focus and attention back to him. And sometimes that can come through pain. It will come through a painful place to us. It will come through a lot of struggles, which brings stress into our lives, and sometimes can put us in a place where we completely run out of mental strength, physical strength, emotional strength, and then we are spiritually even burnt out. But we shouldn't give up at that point. Amen. That's what we are learning from what God is saying to us today. That no, because we're experiencing those things does not mean that God is not with you, God is not for you. But we must be able to discern and go to God so that you know this is a trial of my faith, or this is a chastisement from the Lord because of some things that I have done that is displeasing to God. The Bible says he chastises those whom he loves. So it's not chastising you, disciplining you because he doesn't love you. It is actually because he loves you that he is bringing the chastisement to you. Now, I said that our response is different to the two. For example, if you are going through trying times, it's trying times, you are doing everything that you are trying to do, you are doing your business, or you are not getting business opportunities the way that you should get it, or you are out of job, you are looking for a job, but it seems as if all the doors are shut against you. Everywhere you apply, you cannot really get a response or from them, and it seems as if all these things are just not working. And probably they used to work for you before. Before you say, Father, give me this, you got it. Before you are even having a thought of righteousness, God has already done it. Amen. And then you come to a season where you're doing the same thing you used to do, and you're getting all those things, and then it doesn't seem as if it's coming the way that he used to come. At that time, you and I need to sit down and say, hey, what's going on here? You've got to know. Is this a trial? Is God trying my faith? Because if he's trying you, then you know what you need to do. You need patience and endurance. Praise the Lord. You need to be patient for what the Bible tells us. And let's quickly look at that in James, in the book of James. James chapter 1, and we read from verse 2 to 4. James 1, 2 to 4. And hear what Apostle James said. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience in you. Hallelujah. Some of us, God is just trying to work our patience in us. We are not patient. Yes, you want what you want, you want it when you want it, how you want it. But God is saying, be patient. Don't compromise. Don't fall for the temptation of the enemy. Don't get too desperate that you will compromise your faith. And then God's power cannot be released to bring the blessing into your life. See, he said, no, your faith is working patience for you, but let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Praise the Lord. So that is like the trial of the faith. So some faiths come to you, it's just to try your faith. And what do? The response is what? To be patient. That's what the Bible says. He said, be patient. That's the response it requires from you. Stand in faith. Be patient. Endure the struggle. Endure the place of pain. Endure it, because at the end of the day, you will be in a position where you are in the life of blessing, where nothing is cast, nothing is missing, and nothing is broken. No need to talk. But if it's a chastisement from the Lord, then you and I need to know that God loves you, is chastising you. It is not a punishment, it is a discipline. Glory to God. God is trying to discipline us. So there are some things that we felt came easy to us. Probably we took it for granted. Then God wants you to grow in the knowledge of Him and of His word. And sometimes He withdraws His hand. Hallelujah. Because our focus may shift on what we can accomplish in our own strength. And it shifts to God and shifts away from God. But God wants to shift your focus and attention to Him. The way He redirects is to chastise us and to discipline us. And sometimes that discipline, as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, He said, it is not pleasant. It's not pleasant. But if you endure that discipline, you will see that truly, even in that time of struggle, God's love was there. God was revealing it, and then you will see that your direction and focus is now on God Himself. It is on what, who He is, and not on what He can give to you. Praise God forever. And we got to understand this, even from the life of Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 10. 2 Corinthians, I really love this story, because when people, when you come to Christ, you think that you are not going to face any time of struggle or challenge in your life. So the good news is that we don't end in that time, and we don't die there, because God is trying to help us to crucify our flesh, our human appetites, and our selfish desires. And in the process of killing it, of course, it can be painful to us, because we are used to doing things in the way that we feel like doing it. We are used to obeying what our emotions tell us to do and how to react to every situation that comes our way. But in the pattern of operation of the kingdom of God, it's not the same. And where the flesh has been glorifying itself, God wants to bring it down, to crucify the flesh, so that our spirit can begin to grow in alignment with what the Spirit of God is teaching us and working in us to please the Father. Praise the Lord. So 2 Corinthians, I want us to note the story of Apostle Paul. Now, Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, was telling us in that scripture of what he himself went through. Okay. He went through a lot. And he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. So for every suffering, there is a consolation. If you don't faint in your season of suffering, there is a consolation. Praise the Lord. So, it's a misnomer for you to believe, oh, as a child of God, I shouldn't have, I shouldn't suffer this, I shouldn't suffer this need, I shouldn't suffer this one. Well, God is just trying to increase our faith in Him, and sometimes we go through this kind of suffering, but we do not end there. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that we will be consoled. There is a consolation that will also abound. So if suffering abounds in your life, consolation will also abound in your life by Christ Jesus. Amen. I hope you said amen to that. And verse 6 says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering. So you see, he's still talking about enduring it, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be partakers of the consolation. That's the good news. When a child of God goes through a season of sufferings, there is a consolation for us. God is our consolation by Christ. Hallelujah. For we would not have you, brethren, ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed. You see, they faced a lot of pressure. They were pressed out of danger, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. Can you imagine where it took them to? They were completely spiritually burned out. They were burned out. They were pressed out. I mean, they faced all manner of afflictions. And they said, we despaired, we ran out of strength. And we even almost despaired of life itself. Meaning, they actually wanted to give up on life itself. Can you imagine? The thoughts of being suicidal actually came to them. And this is Apostle Paul talking. Now, let's hear how he concluded in his letter. He said, but we have this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. If he delivered you before, he will deliver you again. Praise God forever. So it is important for us to know why we go through what we are going through. And why is it a trial of my faith? Is it a chastisement from the Lord? Once you can settle, you know what you do, and the rest of it. For in chastisement, it requires that you go to a place of humility and repentance. You repent of the things that you have done wrong that has opened the door of chastisement to you and caused the enemy to attack you, making you vulnerable to all manner of afflictions. And if it's God building you up, and he wants you to come to know him better. Because a lot of times, it's not when everything is rosy and you have everything you need that you come to know God. You know God best when you are in the deep. You know God best when you are in the valley than when you are on the mountain. When everything, you can see everything, and everything is just rosy and walking the way that you want it and desire it. There are times that things don't work the way we desire them. What do you do in such seasons of life? You don't give up, but you allow God to have his way in your life during that time. And Apostle Paul tells us here, look, we also, we are like you. We don't do all these things, but we trust in God that he will always deliver us from whatever trouble that we face in life. He will say, and the divine tells us that we should not lose confidence. We should keep our confidence that we have in God. So keep your confidence. Don't cast it away, because in time you will see the reward of your patient endurance in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. So the death, as I said, the death of your flesh is the purpose of your stress. When God is trying to kill the flesh, to crucify it, the Bible says, crucify your life. The way that you think about things, the loss of the eyes, the loss of the faith, the pride of life, we need to kill it. It must die so that our faith in God will grow, praise the Lord, so that we can put our focus back on God. So in conclusion today, we need to know, what are the things that I need to do? How do I now translate this season of stress? How do I come into my season of power, based on faith? How do I move from my season of pressure into my season of power? Praise the Lord. Galatians 6 and verse 9 tells us what to do. He said, do not be weary in well doing, because in due time you will reap if you faint not, if you don't give up, if you don't fall flat on your feet. Hallelujah. Don't give in to this sense of displeasure. Nothing feels like, you know, sometimes it's like, I don't feel like going to church, I don't feel like reading the Bible, I don't feel like praying, I don't want you are getting into that place, that's a red alert right there. You need to know what the Bible says. Do not be weary. Don't allow the spirit of weariness to come in. I bind that spirit today in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command you to come out of your life in Jesus' precious name. So whatever stress or struggle that you are facing, no, do not be weary. Be patient. Have patience and endure, because God will come through for you. As he did for the Israelites. He said, yes, you're going to continue, but we're coming out of it, and I'm taking you to the land of blessing. So there is a glory that is attached to restoring right now to the season of pressure. There is a glory. Don't miss that glory by giving up, by allowing the enemy to compromise your weight on the faithfulness of God in your life. If you want to see the testimony, if you want to have a testimony, you've got to go through the test. Praise the Lord. You can't abandon the test and expect to have a testimony. And expect to have a testimony. Praise the Lord. And we need strength of God at that time. We need the strength of God at that time. You know, we need the strength. You need to bring to remembrance the goodness of God, his faithfulness in your life in such a season. You need to bring to remembrance what God has done in the past for you, how he delivered you, how he saved you from shame, from disgrace, from mockery, from embarrassment. No matter the embarrassment, God brought you out of it. Bring it to remembrance and begin to thank God for it as you remember how good he is. It's your thanksgiving is a springing board to higher heights. So when it looks as if you are all in despair, your thanksgiving to God will now begin to empower you. It empowers your creativity for you to continue the journey, hallelujah, to your land of blessing. So we need to avoid weariness. We need to give thanks to God for what you have done in the past in your life. So whatever stress or struggle or pressure or suffering that you're going through, God can bring you into a rest as it turns into power in your life. You need to go, as I said, first and foremost, you have to pray a prayer of inquiry. Ask the Lord what is going on, so that your response will be adequate and accurate. You will know if it's a trial of your faith, you know what you need to do. You need to be patient. If it's a chastisement, you need to repent. Chastisement demands repentance for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to continue to do that and believe God and offer praises unto God continually in Psalm 34 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 34 verses 1 and 2 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and my mouth shall continually offer praises unto him. Glory to God. My soul shall magnify the Lord. So we must offer praises to him. That is a sacrifice of praise. And the more that we praise God for what he had done in the past, like Apostle Paul did, is that he had delivered us before. And now we also trust that he will deliver us. So we acknowledge him the faithfulness of God at that time. So you and I also, at the time of holiness, we need to begin to praise Him and don't allow the enemy to completely consume your thoughts life with what is going on in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So there is need for faith, there is need for patience and endurance in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 24 and verse 10, it said, if you faint in the day of adversity, then you need that your strength is weak. So you need strength and the word of God to strengthen you. Keep your heart in the word of God. Keep your eye on the promise that God has made for you, that He will take you out of whatever it is that you've been in your pit of defeat. He has promised He will not leave yourself. He will not leave us comfortless. He said, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Praise God forever. So, beloved, as we put all these things into practice in our lives, we will begin to see that our pressure will begin to turn to power. Our season of pain will give way to a season of pleasure in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I believe that God, you have learned something from your God. As we think to us today through this teaching, shall we pray? Now, if you're watching today and you don't have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, give your life to Christ. It's an opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity to give your life to God. And if you're somebody that has drifted away from God, this is a time for you to return. God will heal your backsliding. Maybe you're still able to turn, but your heart is really not there. You are just going through the motions because you have allowed all your troubles to overwhelm and to consume your thoughts to the point where you cannot even see the way of hope that God is bringing towards you. I want you to pray now and say, Father Lord, I'm surrendering to you again. I'm dedicating my life to you. Please, God, help me back unto you. Correct every wrong. Forgive me my sins, Lord, and grant me the grace to walk in the newness of life so that I will walk worthy of you and be pleasing to you in everything that I do in Jesus' name. And if you are just giving your life to Christ today, you ask Him to call it to your life. I say, Jesus, I ask that you come into my life, be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me my sins. I've been running my life by myself, but now I'm handing it over to you because I trust that you will not mismanage it. I have heard how you deliver people that are in trouble, and I'm putting my trust in you that you will deliver me from every trouble, from every stress and every pressure that life brings to me. So I receive you today as my Lord, Savior. Wash me with your blood, cleanse me with your blood, purge me with your blood today, and make me clean. Receive me as your child today in Jesus' name. If you have said that prayer, to meet you, welcome you into the family of God, and I believe that your life will never be the same again. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I believe that God will strengthen you even in your time of weakness right now. He's bringing strength into you so that you can continue your journey of life and have your expectations that shall be revealed, which cannot even be compared with the sufferings of this present in Jesus' precious name. And if this has blessed you today, give an offering. The details of how to give an offering is written on the screen right there. As you give, God will bless you and supply all your need according to His riches, will by Christ Jesus. Amen. Look for a family to fellowship with. School at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every morning at Becky Face Well. See you then in Jesus. Remain blessed.